Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hi there. We're going to jump into the show here in just a second. But first, I got to talk to you about our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com. Now, you might have noticed that most other podcasts only present one show a week or even one show a month. But here on this show, on the Bob Seska Show, we record 4 shows every week for you. Or in fact, make it 6 shows a week if you include the postmortem bonus shows on our Patreon page. And since we're not part of a cable news network or a fancy corporation, we rely exclusively on your support to keep producing upwards of 6 shows per week. And the best way to support the Bob Seska Show is to sign up for as little as $1 per month at BobSeskaShow.com. That's pennies per show and only $12 per year. But it goes a long way toward allowing us to keep up with the fire hose of news every day. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Bob.
Oh, come on.
Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, September 9, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 231 of the Biden-Harris administration, 425 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Yeah, a little bit of a different show today, so let's start with this. Yeah.
Jody on the show. That's what we're waiting for.
Yes, we are.
I'm gonna talk with Seska.
That's me.
And T-Rex some more.
He's not here today.
No, he's not here.
Bread.
Nothing really grows with Jody on the show with Seska.
Okay, so first we have Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also at right. sexyliberal.com and patreon.com/from-the-bunker. Okay, and guess who else is here? Yeah, on a Thursday show. What the hell's going on?
You say bye.
What day is this?
You said it all.
Wait, what the hell's going on? I'm still, you know what? The good news is, Buzz, I'm still writing Tuesday on all my checks. See?
that joke always holds up, doesn't it?
It always kills.
It seems like it was just Tuesday.
Yeah.
By the way, does this make me an honorary goth ninja?
Yes, you are.
You are, along with Mary Trump.
Oh, how nice. Well, great. That's terrific.
I think you're the lone boomer in the goth ninja contingent. Yeah, that's great.
Nice.
Yes, Buzz, Jody, Buzz. I think the last time you guys talked on the show was our gigantic New Year's Eve special last year, huh?
That's right. Oh, what a fun show that was. I look forward to doing that again.
Yes, absolutely. We will definitely do that again.
I should probably say he's Bob, she's Jody, I'm Buzz, and Dave's not here, man.
See, automatically they go to the rim shot. Okay, you know what? We're going to start here with a correction on the show. I very much regret this error. It's a minor error, but I'm disappointed that I got this wrong, Buzz, from Tuesday.
I contributed to it also.
I had nothing to do with it.
Jody is innocent. She's clean. Leave her alone.
That's right.
This is all on Bob and myself.
Yes. You know what? I occasionally, because we sit here and we spontaneously communicate for an hour and a half, sometimes erroneous information falls out of our mouths.
What?
Once in a while it happens. And this is what happened on Tuesday's show. We were talking about how ivermectin has been, yes, approved for human usage in certain dosages, but I guess the study and the Nobel Prize was for treatment of ringworm, not anything that's viral.
And it's a fungus. See, it had the word, here's what threw us. It had the word worm in it.
Yes,
and
it
so
did.
We thought, well, parasites.
Right.
No, it's a fungus, like athlete's foot.
It is a fungus. Yeah. It is not, as we said, a parasite. It is a fungus. But, you know, sue us, for God's sake, because we've been talking about since the very beginning when this ivermectin story started that it's a horse dewormer, and worms inside a host body are, in fact, a parasite, right?
And now back to our main topic. How do we stop this disinformation?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's not a tumor.
I never said it was a tumor.
I said
it was a parasite, and it's actually a fungus. Ringworm is a fungus. There, the more you know, ladies and gentlemen. If there's one thing you take away from today's show, ringworm is a fungus. So thank you very much. And we, of course, regret the error. So I, along with Howard Stern, seem to be pushing the same idea when it comes to this whole nonsensical freedom argument that we're getting from the anti-vaxxers and the shirkers and the rest of the red hats.
The two of you are not alone, but you're certainly among the more outspoken on what I agree with as well.
I agree. I'm on Team Howard.
Yeah. Well, I think this happened on yesterday's Howard Stern show, and then it also happened on yesterday's Stephanie Miller show, because I said basically the same thing. I said that we need to take back this freedom argument, because what they've been doing, obviously we've all been witnessing this nonsense from the anti-vaxxers about how the vaccine mandates and the mask mandates and so on are infringing upon their freedoms, which is the biggest crock of shit. These whiny diaper babies continue to, complain and make a capital case over the fact that they got to wear a little piece of cloth over their faces when they go on the Piggly Wiggly. What a shock. What a horrible, horrible world we live in. So that's what we're hearing from these guys. Well, it's not really their freedom that's being curtailed.
No.
I feel like it's our freedom. Those of us who have been grown-ups from the very beginning, those of us who have done the right thing from the word go, it's our freedoms that now are absolutely being infringed upon, because we can't get back to some sort of version of normal with our lives now because of the irresponsibility of these people. And make no mistake, irresponsibility is not a virtue. Shirking the rule, shirking your responsibility in society is not in any way a virtue, is it?
And this goes back to our point about minority rule, because right now this country feels as though it's being run by the minority.
Yeah.
So what we have is 75% of America now, or at least among adults, 75% of adults in this country are now at least partially vaccinated.
Yeah.
Versus what, the 25%? So when the media says there are two sides to the mask issue, we're going to cover both sides of the mask debate.
Yeah.
No, there's scientifically, there's only one side. Wear the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And among the populace, there's only one side, and that's the majority rule, 75%, who are A-okay with vaccines. So it's time, as I said on Tuesday, to stop letting these bullies push around a majority.
That's right. I can't even imagine Buzz and Jody. This is so bizarre. Buzz and Jody. This is such a weird thing for me. I can't even imagine what these people would have said during World War II.
They would have left the lights on in Los Angeles during blackouts. They would have.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, my mom lived in L.A. during World War II, and she and her grandmother would say, go to the movies at 6 o'clock, and they'd see like a double feature and come out, and the whole city was blacked out because there was an air raid siren, and everybody and so they had to practically feel their way back to their apartment.
Yeah. Wow.
These are the people that would have left the blinds up with their fucking lights on, and L.A. would have been bombed.
That's right. Except for Mortimer Bongino, the great-great-grandfather of Dan Bongino. His light's blazing. He's got all... Ah, I'm just kidding. I am not aware of any great-great-grandfather of Dan Bongino.
You know, and we go over and over again about seatbelts and other, you know, helmets for motorcycle riders. These are things that have come to be accepted. They've come to be the law of the land. There's no reason a vaccine can't protect us in the same legal way.
Right,
And the difference between seatbelt laws and mass vaccinations is if I don't wear a seatbelt and I get into a car wreck, I'm the person that's going to get injured. I'm not going to injure somebody else necessarily.
Yeah. Well, you could, but it's not going to set off a chain reaction in which
if I injure somebody else, 6,000
people, are in car accidents.
If my body projectiles out somewhere and hit somebody else on the street, it's not going to be ad infinitum. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Unless, Jody, your body has this capacity to ricochet wildly, then maybe maybe you start taking out other people like Daffy Duck at the end of those cartoons where he would just flip around.
Exactly. I mean, if you're like that, but I mean, honestly, and it's more like smoking or drunk driving. Drunk driving, it's not contagious. Smoking, you can literally injure somebody else that doesn't want to inhale your fucking poisonous smoke.
Excellent example.
Mm-hmm. You know,
perfect.
So.
Well, here's what Stern said yesterday. I believe it was on his show. He said, "Fuck them. Fuck their freedom. I want my freedom to live. I want my freedom to live." And that is such a salient point. It's a simple point, but it's a salient point. And this is one of the things that is causing most of my stress right now. Most of my anger and resentment is directed at the people. Yes, yes. Because here, again, I've been saying this since, well, maybe for more than a year now, that we could have been done with this last summer. We could have been through with it. I mean, for God's sake, this is a nation that fought off Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan at the same time, on top of solving a Great Depression. We're able to do shit like this, but I guess not anymore. I guess now it just not we're not even capable of achieving these kind of things.
We've failed at things from the very beginning. I mean, Tuesday we were talking about people eating Vicks VapoRub in 1918 because they thought it would cure the Spanish flu.
That's right.
I think we're basically the same people.
Well, you know, then again, back in 1918, some people still thought that if you had cancer, you were infected with demons and goblins and things like
that. Some people today
think
still
that
do.
Too. Yes,
that's also true. Yeah. All of it requiring a bleeding or something like that. I mean, that's what they would do. But yeah, this is, we're all being held hostage by the irresponsibility, the defiant and angry
minority.
And, yeah. And it is a minority. I mean, this is one of the things we were talking about with Eric Bollert yesterday on the show, which is that this whole notion that America is even Steven divided over COVID is actually kind of nonsense. It's made up. It's a version of the both sides meme where, yeah, they have to amplify certain, you know, factions and de-amplify other factions to create an even keel, right? To create that even Steven 50-50 balance on cable news especially.
Well, and this goes to the news media's practice of making everything a contest. You know, it's all about points scored and, oh, is this, how will this hurt Joe Biden?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's Chuck Todd's mantra.
Absolutely. But it's really not the 50-50 divide that Chuck Todd makes it out to be. It's more like, I don't know, 75-25. The problem is that the 25 are really outraged right now, and they've got the backing of multiple Red Hat news outlets, the entire Red Hat entertainment complex, and that's what's making them sound bigger than they are. It's the volume of their voices make them sound like there's a greater volume of people forming that faction, and that's not always true.
Well, let's try this, and I can't answer this question because I'm not a parent, but let's say you're at the grocery store with your toddler, and the toddler, their head explodes, and they throw a screaming fit, and they turn red as a beet, and they're wailing, and do you ignore them? Do you punish them? Whatever the proper method of handling that is, that's the method we need to apply to these folks.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, I think the Democratic Party has an issue with walking on eggshells. I think the Democratic Party is often overly concerned with not pushing back too hard for fear of offending swing voters, I guess, and maybe that's the motivation.
Mm-hmm. Part of it.
But in this case, I really feel as though at some point very, very soon, and we seem to be moving slowly in that direction, at least when it comes to the White House, that some sort of national vaccine mandate is going to have to be at some point in the not too distant future part of the options on the table, if not something that is actually done. And while it's, I guess, a positive thing that businesses are taking it upon themselves to do it, plus, as I said, Joe Biden today announced a vaccine mandate for all federal workers and contractors. Mm-hmm. So this extends to everyone that has a government contract or works for those contractors. So, yeah, sure, you can shirk the vaccine mandate now if you want to, but you may end up losing your lucrative government contract.
One of several good pieces of news to come out of that administration in the last few days, by the way.
Yeah.
The statue, the 18 Trump appointees to military boards. A lot of good things have happened in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
And this is certainly one of them.
So this is something that is slowly expanding out in concentric circles. We're seeing more and more mandates being put into place because I think what they're seeing is the same thing that the rest of us are seeing every time we go to Google and search for, you know, United States COVID, and we get that chart, or we put in our own state, you know, in my case, Maryland COVID, or Florida COVID, or California COVID, and we see the rise in cases that's happening right now. I guess it's because of the Delta variant, but this is now in advance of children going back to school. It's now in advance of the cold weather seasons beginning, when more and more people are indoors, more and more people are susceptible to illnesses. So while, you know, as I said the other day, there could be an inflection point, I guess they're saying maybe in October, where the cases start to go down because of the vaccination rate.
October.
Yeah. But from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing from people like Dr. Irwin Redliner from the Stephanie Miller Show is that probably not. We're headed toward another pretty significant spike here. And
you would think so. And we may be. Certainly, as I said on Tuesday, the hospitals are full. Kids, over 25% of kids are falling victim to it now.
Yeah.
And the death rate has peaked out again at a crazy point.
Mm.
But at the same time, I'm just looking at Florida's numbers from yesterday. We're down several hundred in terms of hospitalized COVID patients from yesterday. And we were down, and that was down several hundred from the day before. Is that because they're dying? Is that because fewer cases are coming in? I don't know. It is worrisome that as of now, kids are back in school. We already had some schools started before Labor Day, and some of them, over 1,000 of them, have already shut down.
Yeah.
Now, as of this week, they're pretty much all open. And here we go. So, I think it still might get worse before it gets better, but I wouldn't be surprised if it got better, and it certainly won't be because of good behavior of the people. The millions of new vaccinated are certainly helpful in that regard. Absolutely, they are. They got us up to that 75% mark. Virologists want a higher number than that, but secretly, privately, they will tell you 75% is a pretty good number.
Yeah,
so I think we're beginning to make some inroads. Remember, your flu vaccine is only 60% effective, so. Mm-hmm. Virologist, anything over 60% is good.
Yeah.
75% is very good. 85-95% is considered ideal.
Yeah. Well, now we've got kids who are unvaccinated going back to the front lines, more or less. And now, according to the latest numbers, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, children now represent more than 1 in 4, or 26.8% of the weekly COVID-19 cases reported nationwide, according to this new data. And that's all horrible news because they're bringing it home. They're giving it to grandma. They're giving it to their parents. They're giving it to their brothers and sisters. If they have it, they're giving it to their friends. You know, there are so many very complicated equations here in terms of groupings and who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, who's partially vaccinated, who might be a breakthrough. And I think to a certain extent, extent, the complexity of a massive pandemic like this is confounding a lot of people in this country. And I think that's why we see a lot of the acting out. There was another video going around Twitter today of a couple on an airplane, and I guess they were taking their mask off down under their nose, that old trick. I was at FedEx the other day, and there was an old lady right behind me, and the mask pulled down under her chin, for God's sake. Well, I mean, why even bother at that point?
It's like nobody ever watched MASH.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's like, Jesus, even when Henry Blake...
Grey's Anatomy, any fucking television show that's got any sort of medical procedure on the planet.
If only there had been more medical shows on TV.
If only Grey's Anatomy wasn't going into its 18th season, for fuck's sake,
that's,
you know?
Right. Yeah, holy shit. Yeah, well, even with... this is a different show. This is Doogie Howser. This is the Doogie Howser
music. New Doogie Howser coming, by the way.
Yes.
But even in that episode where Henry Blake is killed in that plane crash, you know, and Radar comes in to inform the rest of the cast in the OR, he comes in without a mask. And what's the first thing people yell at
him
to
do?
Put on a mask, Radar. Right. And he's there with the worst news in the world. And, of course, I'm saying the worst news. Yeah, Henry Blake dies. Here's
in their world.
Hey, that's a spoiler there, Bob.
I haven't gotten to that episode yet.
I know. I'm so sorry for spoiling MASH for you. But, you know, this is no-brainer shit. And you know what? You were mentioning the numbers you were looking at for Florida Buzz.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've been noticing is sometimes that Google chart gets a little weird. And I don't know if you guys have noticed any inconsistencies between the Google chart and what we've been seeing with other press outlets. Or I was noticing the chart. I was going through some of the states today, and there was some sort of significant drop over the past couple of days that then corrected itself again. You see the numbers going up, you see the chart going up and up and up, and then there's like a precipitous decline for like 2 days where it goes down a lot, and then it's back up to where it was. And it was across several different states. And that's just an example for some of the inconsistencies that I've been noticing in that Google chart. It seems like maybe the reporting gets a little glitchy somewhere in there where they don't have adequate numbers, maybe, or there wasn't any report from that day. Yeah.
Sometimes the reports get in late, you know, dog ate the homework, that kind of thing. There are some states like Nebraska that are suppressing that information.
Mm-hmm.
The information I'm using is from HHS.gov.
Oh.
And they say 13,000 people hospitalized with COVID-19 in Florida yesterday, down 418 from yesterday.
Well, that's good.
3,000, a little over 3,000 in ICU beds, down 8 from yesterday. And that seems to have been the trend the past few days, at least according to those numbers.
Fascinating, given the fact that kids are back in school. And
they may go up again.
It is true. And there are some school districts there, right? Some counties that are shirking whatever DeSantis said, ban on mask mandates.
And they can do so now with virtual impunity.
Yeah.
A judge ruled late yesterday, a Florida judge ruled, DeSantis can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now all Florida school districts are free to make their own decisions about masking, and more than a dozen of them have, which tells you what's right. He's really gotten squashed on this one.
And, you know, look, we're three people sitting here all childless, and I can't even imagine.
Child-free.
Child free. Yes, there you go.
There you go.
That's an excellent, excellent way to put it. Thank you very much. I'm going to use that from now on. Because you know what? It's not always a tragedy when you don't have kids. It's actually kind of cool. It's fun and awesome to not have kids. I'm sorry.
But I think we're more concerned about other people's children than they are.
That is true.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
often.
Yeah, that is very much true. But, you know, I can't even imagine having kids and, you know, what do you do in this situation? I try to put myself in the shoes of parents of young children under the age of 12 who are sending their kids back to school and have no choice, really, to send them back to school, in some cases and in many cases without a mask mandate. And I would be utterly terrified. I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, I think Chris Boozy was on Kimberly's show yesterday. Christopher Boozy is a IT guy. He's really intelligent. He's got a great Twitter feed. You should definitely follow him. But he was talking about how he's got one kid who's vaccinated and another kid who's not vaccinated. And he's concerned about the kid who's not vaccinated giving his kid who is vaccinated a breakthrough infection.
Is it because of the age difference? Because one's under 12, perhaps?
Yes.
And that would be a maddening problem as a parent.
I mean, especially if you live in a small place. How do you deal with that? How do you quarantine? I mean, do you?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah,
and I don't know that there's even guidance on that.
Yeah.
But I do know that kids are being used as pawns. Yeah. Babies have now died of COVID-19 in the hospital, and older people, the disease being brought home. As I said the other day, adults are mostly giving it to kids.
Yeah.
Adults who won't get vaxxed and won't wear a mask, and now they're giving it to children who don't qualify yet. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be soon, but it's never soon enough. Soon, I think children under 12 will be able to get vaccinated as well, and that will help. I don't know. A lot of people I know saw a video the other day of some, and I think it was in Tennessee, but you see so many videos, it's easy to forget where they all come from. But some parents were pushing past a security guard and a school administrator to push their unmasked children into a school as they were being barred at the door.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know if... So a lot of people, you know, it's just a nightmare. There's a semi-happy ending to that. They were able to corral all of those kids in a library where they could not come in contact with any of the other students. They did not get to attend classes. They did not get to interact with the other students. Good. So as bad as that looked, and as bad as it really is, fortunately, none of the other kids in that school, or teachers, or janitors, or anyone else, got infected.
Amazing statement on where we are as a nation here.
Right.
When we have a serious deficit when it comes to education. And we're seeing that illustrated every goddamn day on Fox News Channel and elsewhere. Certainly with a lot of these people who are shirking vaccines and engaging in bro science and all the rest of it. Amazing thing knowing that children who are of, you know, elementary school age are going back to school in a climate in which not only might they be mowed down in a gun massacre, but now they could also get this potentially deadly virus.
I read a comment from a teacher who said, here's what our teacher meetings are like now, our staff meetings are like at our school. We ask the administrators, can we open our doors for fresh air circulation to prevent COVID? And they said, no, you have to keep your doors shut in case there's a shooter.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in now.
And that's the thing. I mean, if Sandy Hook and Stoneman Douglas did nothing, because the Sandy Hook kids would be entering high school right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's true.
And the kids in Parkland would be entering college or graduating college maybe now. Either way, that didn't do anything. Do you really think a disease that a lot of people still think is a hoax is going to help?
Yeah, there are things that need to be done, obviously, along those lines. But from just a basic empathy point of view, I mean, what was the worst thing that could have happened when we were kids going to school? I guess, you know what, we had into the 80s when I was in grade school.
Global thermonuclear war.
Yeah, global thermonuclear war. And that was probably a little bit of a stressful thing for us.
And the kid next door used to beat me up every day on the way home from school. But other than
that. Besides that. No, I remember, I mean, because I live in Los Angeles. Yeah. When I was in grade school, we had third stage smog alerts all the time.
Oh, wow.
Where literally you couldn't go out and recess in like the late summer, early fall at the beginning of the school year because it was so bad, the smog in the city.
Oh yeah.
And we've had maybe three since 2000, you know, it's very rare anymore because of our emission standards. And then we also had to do drop drills during the Vietnam War, just in case a nuclear bomb was headed our way. So it was like the last Friday of every month, air raid siren would go off. And at school, wherever you were, you had to drop as if that's going to help. Get under that desk, kid. You know, the only kids that were safe were the ones that were in the bomb shelter, which was our music room.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. So you can hide from the nuclear attack, but at least you've got a trombone nearby, right?
Exactly. And a piano and a stage. We could put on a show.
Recorders. Recorders for all the kids. Yeah.
Absolutely. Awful, but I mean, that's, you know, like if it was during recess, we'd just drop in the middle of the field. Like, now what?
Growing up in Tornado Alley and growing up in Kansas, we didn't have nuclear attack drills, but we had tornado drills, and they would take us down to the basement of this huge high school, and that's where all the civil defense rations were.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was at least it was food. And that was also where they had the rage room, where you'd take a kid who's out of control to throw cans of paint or something.
A rage room?
Oh, yeah.
I like that. No, no. Oh, yeah. I wish I had had one.
I want one now. I want a rage room right now. I guess this is the room I'm in right now is my rage room. I guess that's what it is.
It was mostly a secret until they took us all down for a drill.
Yeah.
But I understand teachers made avail of that as well.
Plus, you know, if a witch was coming for your little dog, you could hide in
right.
the rage room.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
In Kansas. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, the difference is, I think, here is that we never actually saw an American school get blown away by a nuclear bomb. Right. We never actually saw what could happen. It never actually happened in the United States, obviously. But with this, with COVID, with gun massacres, it's like practically a weekly event. I mean, we were joking 6-7 years ago with the gun massacres. We were making dark jokes about how the reporting is just a Mad Libs. You can go down and just fill in the blanks, and there's your story. It's the same story every single time. And this is what kids are seeing. They're actually seeing. They can go on the internet freely and see photos of this shit going down in other schools. That has to be like next level terrifying. I mean, it's like, you know, with us, it's like, I don't want to go to the gym because I don't want to get COVID. Yeah, okay, I'm a grown up. I can kind of handle the, you know, the fear and the stress that goes along with the possibility of being injured in a public space. But kids aren't necessarily equipped to be able to deal with that. And there seems to be maybe a psychological aspect of this that we haven't even begun to confront in this
country. Because, you know, society has always evolved. It's always changed. There have always been new things to get used to.
Yeah.
This is dystopian.
Yeah,
the,
it is.
You know, the gun violence and the pandemic. And, we didn't used to have to think about these things. It really, we joke about it, but it really was a simpler time.
No doubt about it. Even with the nuclear missiles dropping and our rage rooms for throwing paint.
Pretty cut and dried. And so in that way, and it was generally singular. Now we're surrounded by threats.
Yeah. I mean, for God's sake, in high school, we had a milkshake machine. I mean, we could have hot pretzels and milkshakes. I mean, well, a Northern Virginia school district is always going to be better
That's
equipped.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was...
We just had pickle sales.
That's so fun, pickle sales.
You could buy a pickle after school.
Well, speaking of pickles, in a second here, we're going to talk about this study that shows ivermectin causes... shocker. Infertility in men. Yep. They're saying this is legitimate. So we're going to dig into this in just one second. Plus, three cheers for Patton Oswalt, a true American hero. Doing the right thing in a difficult time. We need more of this attitude. Plus, on top of doing the right thing with regard to COVID, we're going to get into this in a second. He also totally owned Ted Cruz. And anyone who owns Ted Cruz is fine with me.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Thank you, John Boehner. All right, back with more show right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Bob Seska Show.
Not for nothing, men and tales. Gloom and silence and sleep and pills.
Oh, this is great. This is If by Whiskey, brand new single from If by Whiskey, song called Girl of Southern Irony. Yeah. Of a girl. And the vocals, I don't know, the vocal production on this is so interesting because it feels like the singer's really in my head right now. It was really, really up front and fascinating song and mix. Facebook Facebook.com/ifbywhiskey. Link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com. Thank you. BobSeska.com/music to submit. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, please do that. And yeah. Jody, I was going to ask you, can you believe the music Bob gets on this show?
It's amazing.
It's beautiful. It is really amazing. It's some of the best music I hear now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I've got so much new music that got stacked up during August because we were doing the Songs of the Summer throughout August and then culminating in the Indie Music Countdown at the end of August, which you can still listen to. It's okay to listen to the Labor Day Indie Music Countdown after Labor Day. It's not like wearing white pants or anything like that, or tan suits as the case may be.
Or wearing fur and horns before Memorial Day. It's not like that at all.
That's right.
Wait, I have a question with the white after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Isn't technically every day after Labor Day, even the day before Labor Day, technically after Labor Day? So when can you wear the white then? I mean, exactly what point in time are you allowed to wear white after Labor Day?
Let me after Labor Day, I don't know. You can do whatever you want. Honestly, at least until the weekend's over. But I think in warm weather, any warm weather after Labor Day, I think you can still wear it.
So for me, all the time.
Yeah, 100%.
That's true. Oh, in California? Yeah, Southern California, you bet.
This should totally be like a Curb Your Enthusiasm thing. This is that, like, Jody, that was totally like a Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld conversation starter. Like, isn't every day after Labor Day? I mean, technically
it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, it is because, you know what? Every damn day, I have a collection of about 100 V-neck white Hanes t-shirts. And I wear, you know, it's like a doctor who wears the scrubs every day to work, right? I wear the white V-neck T-shirt every day. So I'm always wearing white. Yeah.
He brazenly shows his neck muscles.
Just don't be around Kathleen Turner if you're wearing white after Labor Day.
That is also true. Yeah.
I can handle it.
Or any Republican who gets bent out of shape over guys wearing tan suits after Labor Day. I should say black guys wearing tan suits after Labor Day.
Reagan was fine. He was okay to wear.
Totally. Right. Well, interesting new study to come out about ivermectin here and a possible side effect. They're saying, and according to these studies out of Nigeria, several universities in Nigeria, that ivermectin causes infertility in men. 85% of this study group ended up getting infertility as a consequence of taking ivermectin. I would say, though, before we dig into the details of this, take it with a grain of salt. It was, from what I was able to see, is a small study group, 385 patients, no control group, and poor methodology, according to some science people.
And as progressives, we shouldn't be pushing disinformation, but why doesn't it bother me that this is out there?
I know. I would prefer this to be out there. I mean, what a great thing. Either ivermectin's going to kill you, it's going to give you diarrhea, or it's going to give you infertility. And Alex Jones is like, give me more. I want more patients. Just inject it into my head. That's why I want more of this crap.
It gives us hope.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
true or not, it's like any good fable. True or not, it gives us hope.
Well, it would be a shame if Joe Rogan and Alex Jones weren't able to breed. I mean, what a tragedy that would be. The study conducted by researchers in Nigeria screened 385 patients with river blindness. To investigate the effects of ivermectin on sperm function, the researchers found that 85% of all male patients treated in particular center with ivermectin in the recent past who went to the laboratory for routine tests were discovered to have developed various forms, grades, and degrees of sperm dysfunction.
They weren't tested prior to the treatment, so we have no baseline to compare it to. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. The dysfunctions include the following. Low sperm count, poor sperm morphology, two heads, tiny heads, double tails.
If only I had known you could have two-headed sperm.
Tiny heads, double tails, absence of tails, and here, my favorite one, albino sperm cells.
I thought sperm was already white.
Yeah.
I know, I guess the sperm cells themselves, not the... You know, not the
spermatozoa.
Not
the fluid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What azoospermia, or the absence of motile sperm. I guess those are sperm that don't swim
around.
Bad
swimmers. Yeah, they're bad swimmers.
Interesting. And, you know, look, ultimately, we could see some peer-confirmed duplicate studies elsewhere. That are more methodologically sound. I don't know if that's an actual word or what.
But. disinformation needs to be stopped, but I can let this one slide.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Plus, three cheers for the great Patton Oswalt. We all love Patton.
Yeah.
One of the best around. He's canceling shows. I think it's five or six shows in both Florida and Utah.
Correct.
Where the venues refuse to require vaccines and or negative tests. That's still amazing that there are places like that. They're like,
At least in Florida, that's the law. The venues are not allowed to do that under Governor DeSantis.
Yeah. Well, you know what I would say? If I was running a venue in Florida and it was a choice between Patton Oswalt coming to my venue and or, you know, listening to Ron DeSantis and his ridiculousness, I'd go with Patton Oswalt.
But I'm already, before you get into this tweet, I'm very fond of Patton Oswalt anyway. He was a semi-regular guest on a show that I used to be part of.
Don and Mike.
And
yep.
I got to meet him and know him a little bit. He became, among the many other things, in addition to being an incredible stand-up comic and doing voiceover work and acting on camera, he's one of Hollywood's best script doctors. Now, to me, that's about the coolest job you can have. Because in my case, when it comes to writing, I'm not good at so much at original material or at least ideas. But if somebody else gives me the idea and says, run with it, then I can do something with it. So I like the idea of script doctoring, and I've always been envious. I've always wanted his job because I think that would be a lot of fun. But yeah, he really made a lot of points in a couple of ways on Twitter in the last 24 hours.
Plus, he's made being a nerd cool. I like that. I like that about Patton Oswalt, where he owns his nerddom. He doesn't mind letting his nerd flag fly. That's fine with me, and it makes life easier for guys like me. And if you've never seen it, you got to go to YouTube and watch his Star Wars filibuster, which is one of the funniest things. He just improvised this. I don't know. It's like a 7-minute long filibuster at this. What was it, like Parks and Rec or something like that? One of those shows. It's just absolutely one of the funniest things in the world. And of course, his stand up is great. Watch all of his stand up specials. But Ted Cruz tweeted about this cancellation of these several venues in Florida and Utah. Ted Cruz went and trolled Patton Oswalt, which is a big fucking mistake. I mean, someone talk about bad staff work. Right. His staffer should have been waving him off. Don't even go. My God, Ted Cruz, are you out of your league? Yeah. Senators, stay away from Patton Oswalt. Not only that, he did it at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Ted Cruz tweeted, both of his fans were disappointed. The really, really lame. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. So Ted Cruz walks right into another one here.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
And so here was Patton Oswalt's whole threaded reply to Ted Cruz. He says, this is Patton Oswalt. He says, sigh, okay, Ted, here we go. Not as disappointed as Texas was when you cut your Cancun vacation short and came home. Next tweet. Ted, you tweeted this at 1 a.m. Put the phone down and return to liquid form for a few hours. That's my favorite one. Ted, my fans are all at home waiting to see you at the January 6th hearings. Yeah, perfect. I'm so flattered you took time from your porn scrolling for this, Ted. Yeah, another good one. And then, of course, he concludes by saying, well, that was fun. As always, Ted, you're a friendless, cowardly embarrassment, and your beard looks stupid. So,
yeah. Do not cross him.
Yeah. See, this is where our side of the ledger, our side of the aisle excels. We have people like Patton Oswalt who know how to talk about politics, and they know how to talk about politics in not only a salient way, but a funny way and a clever way and a smart way.
And I've always thought that messaging was important. We've talked about that at great length. And you've talked about it with Rachel Bitticoffer at great length.
Yeah.
So many of us are now ready for action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have elected Democratic officials who are a little hamstrung in a couple of ways. Their majority, such as it is tenuous at best.
Mm-hmm.
There are some folks standing in the way, but there are things they could do and they need to do. And although, you know, speaking and writing are important, what we really need now is action. And the window of opportunity on taking these actions to protect democracy,
yeah.
to stop the pandemic, to slow climate change. The window, time is up, man. We have to do this now.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be put off any longer. And the time for arguing and debating and talking, in my mind, is virtually over, because this is the time to act or not act and lose it all.
Yeah, it seems to me as if it's always better and, in fact, an easier climb, an easier task to get these things while the numbers are still low. And we are, to a certain extent, at a peak right now, and I don't know where this is going to go. But it seems as though doing the right thing at this point is when you do it. Because what's happening is, while, yeah, there are 75-80% of us who are doing the right thing, those 25 percenters, those 30 percenters, those people are the ones who are creating all of these variants that could make life miserable for the rest of us. And that's one of the things, one of the many things that I'm concerned about. And now we've already started to see this... this Mu variant is now found in 49 states. What were you going to say, Buzz?
Mu variant.
Mu. Is it
it's
Mu?
The Greek, Greek pronunciation is Mu.
People have been associating it with cows when they should be associating it with cats.
See. Okay.
Mu variant. But I have to say, virologists are not as concerned about some of those other variants. Delta has proven to be so strong, Mu doesn't stand a chance against it. 90-some percent of the cases in this country are Delta. And so the Mu variant is having a hard time taking hold, thank goodness.
Good.
Yeah.
And so really the Delta variant, if there's anything good about it, it's so powerful. It's kind of keeping down the other variants.
Yeah, I think we have 167 people in Los Angeles that have the Mu variant, but it doesn't seem to be spreading at the moment, which is good.
Well, 1-800-MU-VARIANT to vote for the Mu variant in America's Favorite Variant competition. This is coming this fall to NBC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's
Or if they do it on Fox, it'll be in costumes.
That's exactly right. This is all the variants fighting it out in a dance contest you wouldn't believe. All kinds of Hollywood glamour and glitz. Yeah.
Next on America's Kids Got Dancing.
Oh, shit. Okay, moving on here. Yeah, D.C. is already preparing for Insurrection Version 2 happening on September 18. You know what this one's all about? You know what this rally is about? As police brace for this, and I think they're coordinating with Nancy Pelosi's office and so on.
Right.
The theme is justice for J6. That's justice.
Yes,
This is a rally in support of all the people who have been arrested from January 6th, all the insurrectionists. Right. Jesus, so utterly brazen.
There have been protests every single day outside the prison where a lot of these accused or convicted insurrectionists are being held.
Yeah.
And this will be an expansion of that. How big it's going to be, how brave these folks are or think they are, remains to be seen. I've even seen posts that indicate that it's been moved to this Friday, the 11th, to throw everybody off.
Or the 10th.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, no. No.
Well, Friday is the 10th. Saturday is the 11th.
Anyway, later in the week, I've heard the 11th as well as the 18th. I think the 18th is probably the real date. It's a lot like Trump's reinstatement day. It keeps moving.
You know, the 18th is my wedding anniversary. And
hey, congratulations.
Thank you. Last year, that was the day that RBG died.
Oh, God.
So that ruined my anniversary.
How many years this year, Jody? Just curious.
Married 6, together 21.
Wow, incredible.
Congratulations.
Okay,
and
congratulations.
Congratulations. Has Lonnie bought any new death traps?
No, not yet. He still just has the tea bucket and the Bugatti.
Okay.
So
we're just concerned about your safety. That's all.
Well, no, and I don't wear long scarves
at
all.
Good.
So that's helpful.
Yeah, you're talking about his. He's got like a collection of classic cars, right?
Cool. Right. He's got a tea bucket and which looks kind of like the Munsters vehicle. So I do have a Lily Munster outfit.
Oh, good.
Oh, great.
That one of these days I will put on and ride in the car. And he just thumbed up me on that. But he has to dress as Eddie Munster or Herman.
Yes,
I haven't decided which one. And he went no on that one. and then he's got a Bugatti replica, which that's the one I definitely don't wear a long scarf in. And I've only been in once, and that was enough for me.
I understand your concern, but they are cool cars.
Yeah, they're
cool cars. You know, they're real nice to look at.
Yeah. Well, plus I want to be Lonnie when I grow up. So that's
we all do.
So
I don't want these insurrectionists ruining my fucking anniversary.
Right.
Like RBG, God bless her, had to do it last year.
But see, you know what? You had the RBG death happen on your wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. Now imagine me. I got this once in a million chance to do a album cover for Yes. And the album on which that cover appeared was scheduled to be released on September 11th, 2001. So I should have gotten, I don't know why I got a rim shot on that one. I meant to do this is more appropriate. Yeah, I'm not going to do that one again. But yeah, so I think I win, Jody. I'm sorry. I think that's pretty tragic that RBG died on your anniversary.
No, you're right. But, you are correct. That would definitely have superseded the record release party.
Right. Which is not nearly the worst thing that happened on 9/11. But that's my, it's my experience.
It's your own personal stuff. Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
So this group organizing the rally is called Look Ahead America. And it's led by Matt Brainerd, who served as the campaign staffer for Donald Trump. About 300 to 500 attendees are expected at the event. You know what? That's not a lot of people, but some of the groups to be attending are the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Of course, they're all going to be there.
Maybe we can round up the ones we haven't gotten already.
You know, I've been seeing some videos of Proud Boys getting into like fist fights on the median strip along some, roadway somewhere. And it's always captioned, at least by them, as being, okay, we fought off some Antifa people today.
Yeah.
Someone needs to seriously look into whether or not these quote-unquote counter-protesters at these Proud Boys rallies are actually Antifa and not Proud Boys people dressed as Antifa.
Are you saying that this is not like wrestling? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm saying that maybe some of these things are staged. I mean, look, my Gen X upbringing always wants to go to, maybe this is a setup. Maybe this is some sort of scam. Maybe it's Proud Boys people dressing up and saying they're Antifa.
These days you've been more often correct than incorrect about that feeling.
Yeah, lots of things that need to be looked into. In fact, isn't there now a bounty for getting information about why Anthony Kennedy suddenly resigned from the Supreme Court and who paid off Brett Kavanaugh's debt?
Yeah. The last I saw it was somebody had offered $5,000 and then TV producer Don Winslow kicked in another $50,000. So the last I saw, and it may be higher now, I hope it is, $55,000 to any investigative journalist who can uncover who paid Brett Kavanaugh's debts.
Holy shit. Buzz, there you go. You got to come out of retirement. You got to.
Yeah, Buzz, that's a nice little retirement bonus.
Yeah.
Would be, wouldn't it? Well, I'll consider that.
You've both seen the video of the Kennedy retirement announcement where Trump and Kennedy are walking back away from the podium and to go into the other room or whatever it was at the end of the remarks. And Trump says something to Kennedy, and Kennedy reacts with significant alarm, like, whoa, what? It kind of makes that, it kind of goes, what? And so there's been all kinds of speculation as to what Trump may have said to Kennedy. And here's my theory.
Yes.
I think Trump let it slip to Kennedy that he was considering someone other than Brett Kavanaugh. And that alarmed Kennedy, because I think one of the reasons why Kennedy retired when he did was he got an agreement from either the White House or Mitch McConnell that it was going to be Kavanaugh who's going to replace him. And we've talked, I mean, there have been theories about why Kavanaugh, right? There's some linkage between Kennedy and Kavanaugh. And when Trump may have let it slip that he was possibly considering, I don't know, Jeanine Pirro or some crazy crackpot nominee, you know, some other possibility. That's why Kennedy went, what? And so, I don't know, do either of you have a theory about this, or am I way off that could possibly be what was discussed there? Because it seems like that's the centerpiece of the whole Kennedy Strange to say, the whole Kennedy conspiracy. Weird, another Kennedy conspiracy, huh?
Yeah. I would presume that it was something along those lines, but we just don't know. There's clearly something fishy happened there, and somebody paid off Brett Kavanaugh's $92,000 credit card debt and paid for a $200,000 country club membership with money he did not have.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you make that kind of cash as a, what was he, an appeals court level justice?
Right.
Yeah,
no, he didn't have the money to pay that off
that there's no way. No. Right, right. So where did it come from? I hope there's some investigating along those lines. I hope someone comes up with something. And also, finally, why wasn't this investigated before? I don't know. Why wasn't why didn't anyone look into it before?
Because he wasn't a Democrat. Because we only did. We only investigate.
That's absolutely true. Well,
to look fair, we have to go after the Democrats.
By the way, in my discussion with Eric Bollert yesterday, it was all about the news media and some of the crap from this summer that's slipped through the cracks and has been badly reported on, or just miscarriages of journalistic justice happening on cable news. And first thing out of my mouth, Buzz, was to ask Eric if he was familiar with you. And unfortunately, he was not familiar with you or the Don and Mike show, but he did say that he was very accepting of the fact that you are now slowly becoming Eric Bollert. You are now in the same category as he is.
I'll be honest. I've followed his tweets for some time. And in the early days, I developed a less than favorable opinion of Eric. And I knew that was an unpopular opinion to have, so I've kept it to myself. My feeling has changed recently. At the time, I felt he was picayune about many things he was finding in the press, and I still believe he was. Now, however, I find myself agreeing with him more often than not, and certainly most of the people, if not all the people I respect, follow his press run and follow him. And lately, I find myself agreeing with him almost entirely. Yeah. So maybe I've evolved, maybe he's evolved, maybe things have evolved, maybe any combination of those. And so I'm eager to go back and listen to your interview with Eric yesterday. Something I might not have done before, but I'm open to it now. What I worried about initially with Eric is that he was damaging an institution we will regret not having.
Yeah.
If the progressives join the conservatives in destroying the media, and we've all contributed to that, we're going to rue the day. We're going to regret that. Now, things are wildly out of control right now. As you've pointed out, the press is overcompensating, trying to prove that it's fair and balanced by going after Joe Biden, and trying to prove that it's fair and balanced by not going after Donald Trump. And I will say that when I was doing the news, people looked to my newscast to get a fairly honest assessment of everything that was going on in any given week.
Yeah.
I got most of that material from the New York Times and the Washington Post. They still did some of the finest reporting on the Trump administration that was done. There were things they didn't do. There were things they did wrong. Now I just think they're completely off the trail with whatever this vendetta is against Biden.
One of the things that I think needs to happen in the press, certainly in the television news media, is more explainers. And I'm say that in the most positive sense. You know, the beginning of Rachel Maddow's A Block on a typical weeknight, where she gives some background and history to then sort of build up to the story that she has planned to talk about. And that is invaluable as far as I'm concerned. I want to see more of that. I want to see journalists on television setting up and providing context for these very complicated issues that we're facing. And here's a great example of what I'd like to see more of. And unfortunately, it didn't come from the press. This is a post that you shared, Jody, on Twitter, and I think you also shared it on Facebook, about body autonomy.
Yeah, it was a great piece that this kid, this parent, I guess, quoted his son talking about.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
So I want to get into that. I want to read that post about body autonomy here, because I think it was a fascinating look at what I think a lot of people are getting wrong about the abortion debate, specifically the Texas abortion ban. So we're going to talk about that and a lot more right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska!
About it all the time, my obsession, it drives me to the overtime. I don't wanna get my lazy bones out of bed. If I have to, I'll make a drink instead. Head on the bottle, yeah, I'm feeling fine.
So great, so goddamn good. This is the Metal Byrds, BYRDS, out of Houston, Texas. Whoops. Yeah, Houston, Texas. The song is called Absolute. TheMetalBirds.com is the website. Go support them. I always love when we get some solid metal here, some throwback metal on the show. So thank you, Metal Byrds, for sharing. Okay, getting back into things here as we come close to wrapping up our Thursday show. This post about body autonomy, really salient. And really, I'm always looking for an interesting way to crack the nut of this abortion debate. I still feel like, and I've been talking about this issue, God damn it, since I was in high school, maybe even prior to that, because I was, you know, raised Catholic, and it's one of the big, abortion's one of the big bugaboos in the Catholic Church. Right. And I've been searching for those kind of Aaron Sorkin-ish salient ways to kind of cut through the debate where it's almost an insurmountable point to make. And that was one of the things that Sorkin did so well on The West Wing and all of his various shows.
Yes.
Is he was really good at the way he described it as taking someone else's words, balling them up in your fist, and punching them in the jaw with it. And we need more of that. You talk about ways that we can cut through a debate, the ways the Democratic Party can really capitalize on messaging. That's one way. And this is a great laser-like point about what's happening right now in Texas. This is written, Jody, of course, shared it on her Twitter feed. This is written by a kid named Brent Graber. Quote, last night I was in a debate about these new abortion laws being passed in red states. My son stepped in with this comment, which was a real showstopper. One of the best explanations I have read. Quote, reasonable people can disagree about when a zygote becomes a human life. That's a philosophical question. However, regardless of whether or not one believes a fetus is ethically equivalent to an adult, it doesn't obligate a mother to sacrifice her body autonomy for another, innocent or not. Body autonomy is a critical component of the right to privacy protected by the Constitution as decided in Griswold v. Connecticut, McFaul v. Shimp, and of course Roe v. Wade in 1973. Consider a scenario where you are a perfect bone marrow match for a child with severe aplastic anemia. No other person on earth is a close enough match to save the child's life. And the child will certainly die without a bone marrow transplant from you. If you decided that you did not want to donate your marrow to save the child for whatever reason, the state cannot demand the use of any part of your body for something to which you do not consent. It doesn't matter if the procedure required to complete the donation is trivial, or if the rationale for refusing is flimsy and arbitrary, or if the procedure is the only hope the child has to survive, or if the child is a genius or a saint or anything else. The decision to donate must be voluntary to be constitutional. This right is even extended to a person's body after they die. If they did not voluntarily commit to donate their organs while alive, their organs cannot be harvested after death. That's the law. Use of a woman's uterus to save a life is no different from use of her bone marrow to save a life. It must be offered voluntarily. By all means, profess your belief that providing one's uterus to save the child is morally just and refusing is morally wrong. That is a defensible philosophical position, regardless of who agrees and who disagrees. But legally, it must be the woman's choice to carry out the pregnancy. She may choose to carry the baby to term. She may choose not to. Either decision could be made for all the right reasons, all the wrong reasons, or anything in between. But it must be her choice. And protecting the right of body autonomy means the law is on her side. Supporting that precedent is what being pro-choice means.
Absolutely.
Very, very well said.
Meanwhile, the anti-mask, anti-vax crowd marching outside of hospitals, marching against vaccines and taunting the doctors are demanding they have body autonomy.
Yeah.
That you can't make them put a mask over their mouth or inject a foreign substance into their bodies.
Yeah, and they would say, in reply to that, Buzz, well, we're not talking about a second person here. We're not talking about a person inside of our body.
Right.
We're talking about ourselves, and we have autonomy over ourselves alone. But you know what? There are other persons. There are potentially hundreds, if not thousands, of other persons
Howard was saying.
Yeah. That could be infected if that person, that irresponsible person who's saying my body, my choice, gets infected themselves. So it is. This is the thing that gets lost in all the murkiness and complications of dealing with a pandemic. It gets lost that it's not just about you. Dr. Doom on the Stephanie Miller Show was saying the same thing. It's not just about you. It's about you and everyone you come into contact with.
And they don't get that. And they don't think that way. Again, the conservative mind does not believe in a collective.
Yeah.
The progressive mind does.
Mm-hmm.
The conservative mind demands rights for the individual. The progressive mind demands rights for everyone.
Meantime, the Texas Abortion Snitch website has been shut down yet again by another domain provider. This would be Epic. Epic has shut them down. That's Epic with a K, because they said it violates its terms of use. Yes, you can't start a website where you dox and stalk other people. Precisely. So this is the thing. I mentioned this yesterday. In fact, I wrote about it for the Banter newsletter, thebanter.substack.com, about how, look, it's not just people who are planning to have an abortion who are going to be stalked and doxed and monitored and surveilled. It's going to be every pregnant woman to an extent. I mean, obviously, it can't be every pregnant woman in Texas. But pregnant women in Texas, irrespective of whether they plan to terminate, are going to be monitored by these teams of bounty hunters who are going to be operating out of, storefronts and mini malls and back alleys and so on. Looking at, every pregnant woman now has a dollar sign over their heads and they're going to be pursued. Because there's cash money in it.
Well, like I said last week, girls and women going into a pharmacy and buying birth just to find out if they're pregnant, a pregnancy test.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly right.
So people will be searching through their garbage to see if it's a positive result or not. And then, by the way, some pregnancy tests, if they're laid out long enough, it can show a positive result after it had shown a negative result, depending on the test.
Yep.
And so... people will be going through women's garbage.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? We talked about this a little bit on Tuesday, Jody. There are other states now who are now considering copycat laws based on the Texas law. And these are states where we really need to focus activism right now before it gets passed. We often have this too little too late thing that we do here in this country where Democrats tend to get outraged about things that have already been passed. The ship has already sailed, so to speak. In this case, we can get a jump on it because we've already got information. States like Missouri are looking at copycat laws. Florida is certainly taking a look at the Texas law. Republican officials in Arkansas and South Carolina have signaled they're interested in exploring the heartbeat bill. Pennsylvania, the author of the state's version of the six-week ban, said he was heartened by the Supreme Court's ruling.
There is no heartbeat in a six-week-old zygote because there is no heart.
That's right. That's right.
And those pregnancy tests don't show pregnancy for at least a couple of weeks. So we're really talking about 4 weeks. I've read it can be as little as 2 weeks if you even find out in the 6 weeks, the first 6 weeks of pregnancy.
Even women that are trying to get pregnant have to wait a certain amount of time in order to be sure. And so it's like, say, they're really trying and they're checking, they're ovulating, they're doing everything right to get pregnant. They still have to wait 2 to 3 weeks after a missed period
to
find out.
This seems like a good place for good news, if I may, and that is that lawsuits against the Texas law have already been filed, and we are expecting an announcement sometime today. I don't believe it's come down yet. That's okay, but we're expecting an announcement today from the Justice Department about exactly what it does plan to do to Texas for what it's done with its abortion law. I think we're going to see, as opposed to just the sort of statement that we got, the commitment, the verbal commitment we got from Merrick Garland the other day, I think today you're going to see some action.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, and I got to say right here and now, Buzz, thank you for jumping in today. And also...
Yeah, thank you so much.
Also, thank you for being Buzz Lasso on the show today. Coming in with the positive news. Yes, because...
That's an honor.
Yeah, I'm giving Dr. Doom, Dr. Irwin Redliner, a run for his money here.
I believe in believe.
And you know what, by the way, since last Friday's Ted Lasso, I've been going around saying, you're darn tootin', Vladimir Putin. Been going around saying that all week. Yeah.
Can't wait for the
episode. Yeah. In fact, I tweeted that the other day. Got a like from Jason Sudeikis himself. So I was really happy to see that. That was always a nice compliment. Yeah.
Do you know that the Ted Lasso account on Twitter has many more followers than Jason Sudeikis does?
Oh, Jesus. That's incredible.
That's funny.
Well, also, Jason Sudeikis doesn't really use Twitter a whole lot. He's got zero tweets. But so that's another sign that maybe there was a cool thing that I got a like from Jason Sudeikis, who never uses Twitter.
What's funny is nobody thinks Jason Sudeikis is real, but everybody believes in Ted Lasso.
There you go.
Oh, shit. Okay, lots more to talk about here coming up on the Postmortem Show, including whether we should keep calling it the Postmortem Show or change the name to the Shadow Docket. We're going to talk about that coming up
here.
Oh,
I like that idea.
Yeah,
we're
going to toss that around a little bit coming up on the Postmortem. Plus, I'm thinking about putting out a poll and some... I don't know. God, why am I even using this to promote the post-mortem? We're going to talk about Trump for a second, because Trump said some weird things about Robert E. Lee yesterday. So we're going to talk about Trump on Robert E. Lee. And
that'll be rich.
It's right in my wheelhouse. It's like one of those things where combining Civil War history and Trump being a goddamn doofus, those are my, couple of things that I follow. So naturally, we're going to talk about that.
I can't speak for everyone else, but I'm going to listen.
All right. Well, that's coming up on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Meantime, Jody Hamilton is at from-the-bunker.com. Also, Patreon.com/FromTheBunker. Go support Jody and David Shockett and Sean Barton. A great, great show happening over there, and certainly worth your support. And, of course, Buzz Burbank is on Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Buzz Burbank or, as we're calling him now, Buzz Lasso. Okay. All right, that's
Thank
it for
you
the
guys.
Show. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the after party tomorrow with Kimberly. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
It's not a tumor.